This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Nothing really much to show here. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Sorry for starting a little bit late. Today is one of a series about Al-Kaaba, and the next one will be about the second sacred place of worship that we have as Muslim, which it will be Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi in Medina, and will be presented by Sheikh Kamal Makki. And the third one will end with Jerusalem, the Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And this is actually inspired by the season. We have the Hajj season, and a lot of people going to Mecca, going to maybe Umrah, inshallah, with us in the end of the year, or going for Hajj. So I would like them to know about it. And those who never been to Mecca, never been to Al-Kaaba, never visited this place before, I would like from them to get the chance to know more about what is this place is, what Al-Kaaba is. Al-Kaaba is something very much honored by all Muslims, and they consider it a very special place. And Al-Sharia have put it in a very distinguished place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this place that this is the first place ever was put on earth for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوَّلُ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. This is the first house was put, a house of worship that was ever put for people. And النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ مَكَّةَ. Allah had made Mecca sacred place. And He created the heavens, the day He created the heavens and the earth. And it is sacred until the day of resurrection. So the sanctity or the respect for this place should continue until the end of the days. And Islam shows so many ways of respect to this place. Number one, refer to it as a place of worship. هو بيت وضع لعبادة الله للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. Allah said to Ibrahim and to his son Ismail, وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهر بيتي. We order Prophet Abraham and his son to prepare this place and purify this place to be a place of worship where people can pray, can prostrate to their Lord, can make tawaf to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen the best of His prophets and the best of His messengers to build it and to clean it and to take care of it and to look after it. So this place was built, as we're going to know a little bit, either by Prophet Ibrahim, which is considered the father of all the prophets, or literally, figuratively speaking, he's the father of all prophets, or literally the father of all prophets, which is Adam alayhi salam. Adam, Ibn said that he's the one who built Al-Kaaba. Out of honoring, also some ulama said it may be built even by the angels, not by humans. And this is to show you that how sacred this place and how special this place. This place has two stones were sent down from heavens to earth. Hajaran unzila min al-jannah, which is al-hajar al-aswad, the black stone, and Maqam Ibrahim. Both came from Jannah to earth, came from heavens to earth. And by the way, it is interesting. We might talk about it if we have time. But some of the one of the princes, Amir Muhammad al-Faisal, he used to be a professor at Stanford University, and he worked for the Ministry of Awqaf now, or volunteer some of his time there. When he was here in Washington, D.C., he actually sponsored a team that they examined part of the black stones. And these geologists, they said that whatever the stone is made of, it doesn't belong to any stone known on the face of the earth. You know, we have a specific three categories of stone on the face of this earth. This one is not one of them. It is completely something alien to what we are familiar with here. And he said that's exactly our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us, that this is a stone was sent down from heavens. Also, it is this place. It is a central of the worship. It's a point of reference when it comes to the worship. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said whenever we pray that we should direct our face toward Al-Ka'bah, what is Al-Ka'bah is. And just as an explanation, when we say face Al-Ka'bah, it doesn't mean that if you make a line from your feet, it's going to hit Al-Ka'bah. No, it means the direction, what is Al-Ka'bah is. So basically, that's also another way of showing honor to this place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Al-Ka'bah by making it in the central of the world. And I was looking into some of the research into this, and I found out that the modern scholars try to look Al-Ka'bah's position comparing to any other place in the world. It's really in the heart of the world. They said if you make a line from where Mecca is to the world that we know today, Wellington, something like a city by that name, in New Zealand. Then you go to the farthest top north, okay? Then you go to the farthest, basically, in South America. If you try to do that, basically, look at these three different locations between Australia, South America, and all the way in the north, you will find that Al-Ka'bah, exactly in between the three points, by 13,253 kilometers. And it reached to the farthest known modern cities or city where people living. Like if they talk about the I think it's in Alaska when they said where is the most known city to be populated with people. So they said if we look at these three cities in the three different sides of the world, you'll see that Mecca comes really in the center of the world. It's about 8,300 miles between these three directions. So part of honoring this place, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this house from the time it was built, that every time someone tried to destroy it, someone tried to harm this place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected it and never let anyone to harm it. And the example that we're very familiar with, when the army came from Yemen to destroy Al-Ka'bah when the Prophet ﷺ was just born, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent from heaven, from the sky, a bird carrying stones that killed all the people, or the army of Abraha who came from Abyssinia and killed his elephants and whatever soldiers he came with. Also, but that protection to Al-Ka'bah was only before the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The promise of protecting Al-Ka'bah was only in the time of, until the time of Islam, when Muhammad ﷺ was sent as a messenger. Not anymore Allah promised to protect Al-Ka'bah. It's interesting, isn't it? Al-Ka'bah was destroyed many times after the time of the Prophet ﷺ and rebuilt many times. It will be destroyed in the future too. And it will be rebuilt until it will be destroyed in the end of the days. An army comes from Abyssinia. And Nabi ﷺ said, he will come and he will destroy Al-Kaaba and Quduha hajaran hajara. He will knock it down one stone at a time, people watching it, and no one will move. No one will do anything. And it will never be rebuilt again. And in that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will take back the stones that He sent down from heavens, take it back to the heavens. قال يرفع الله الحجر الأسود. Allah will take back the black stone to the heavens because it doesn't belong to this earth anymore after it will be destroyed. And this is by the end of the days. This is after the return of Jesus. This is after, completely in the end of the days. Ulama raised a good question. They said, why? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't protect the Kaaba? He used to do that. Why when the Muslims and the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger, this promise not there anymore? قالوا لماذا لا يتكفل الله بحماية الكعبة? And the answer for this, ulama said, because before the Prophet ﷺ, the majority of the people who populated around the Kaaba were the kuffar, were the mushrikeen, the disbelievers. And those people don't deserve to get the honor to protect al-Kaaba. They don't deserve to get the honor to build it and to take care of it. And that's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he was sent, Allah give that honor of protecting al-Kaaba to the people, to the Muslims. That's an honor itself. So they will have that honor of protecting al-Kaaba and making sure to rebuild it if there is anything wrong happen to it. Among the honoring of this place, that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that it is forbidden for anyone to cut the trees that around al-Kaaba. The trees is not allowed to be cut, to be utilized for building houses or anything of that nature. Also, you're not allowed to hunt around the realm of al-Kaaba. You're not allowed to kill the animals that in the Kaaba, the birds, the cats, whatever animals that you see there, unless it is something harmful, you're allowed to protect yourself from it. But anything other than that, no, you're not allowed to touch it. You're not allowed to hunt. You're not allowed, if you see a deer or you see somebody see a chicken, oh, let me eat for lunch. You can't do that. So every animal there is protected. Anybody goes to the realm of Al-Kaaba, called Al-Haram, which is an area surrounding Al-Kaaba, it is something protected. You can't touch. You cannot disturb. Even in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقُطَةُ الْكَعْبَةُ مُحَرَّمَةً, that anything that fall off from you on the ground, nobody else can pick it up. Nobody else can claim it. It should be kept until the person who lost his whatever belonging claim for it again. For example, if you see now in this place or any in the street, $5 in the floor, you pick it up and you're allowed, if you don't see anybody around, you're allowed to keep it, as long as it's a small amount, but it's something valuable like 500 or 1,000 or a ring, golden ring. No, you can't take it. There is a certain rules for it. In Al-Kaaba, even if it is 10 cents, even if it's 1 cent, you're not allowed to pick it up and to put it in your pocket. So what do we do with it? In the old days, they used to leave it until the person come back. But these days, no, they regulate that. There is a lost and found place. They collect it and people can go and take it. That's why last 2 weeks ago I was there in Mecca and I lost my shoes. Somebody, it looks like, took my shoes by mistake. So now I don't have a shoes. You know, there is hundreds of slippers and shoes in front of me, nobody claiming it, but I can't take any one of them. It's forbidden. You can't take something that doesn't belong to you. And that for the sacred of this place. Also, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid us to spit towards Al-Kaaba. If it's front of you or not in front of you. And that's a lot of people don't know this rules. That in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالْ مَنْ بَسَقَ تِجَاهَ الْكَعْبَةِ, anybody spit towards where the Qibla is, أتى بصاقه بين عينيه يوم القيامة. His spit will come in his face in the day of judgment. So that's why when you, if you ever, in the old days, you know, they don't have napkins, they spit. So when they spit, you have to look down and on the side, but not towards where the Qibla is or the Kaaba is. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, since I heard this hadith, I never ever spit until I make sure where is the Qibla is before I spit. And if you don't know where the Qibla is, you just do it. If you do it in a napkin, or, you know, which is, I think you should do now. But if somebody did it in desert or outside, he spit basically on the side, not directly, just in case he's facing Al-Kaaba or facing the Qibla. Also, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you go to urinate or to go to the bathroom, you should not, when you sit in the toilet seat or you sit to relieve yourself, you should not be facing Al-Kaaba, nor giving Al-Kaaba your back. And the ulama debated over this. I'll explain this, inshallah, when we talk about Bulugh al-Maram in my Wednesday class. But some ulama said that this is only restricted in an open area, like in desert. Okay? But if you are in building, it's okay. But it doesn't matter, even if we go with this. Some others said, no, you cannot ever build in a bathroom and it's facing Al-Qibla. That's why if you see some Muslim architect, whenever they design bathrooms, they actually don't design it. In certain Muslim countries that I know, that in their architects, they don't design them the toilet seat to be facing the Qibla, intentionally. And still that part of Islamic architect. But I believe that it is permissible as long as you have a building or inside a building. What's not allowed to be in the open field or an open area where you be basically facing that there is no restriction around or you're not in the bathroom. But all these rules, the point was, all these rules and maybe others are meant to show you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this place. And out of honoring this place, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it Baytullah, the house of Allah. And please, don't be like those people who, when he hear house of Allah, they think, yani Allah lives there. No. It's like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Naqatullahi wa suqiyaha, that this is Allah's, the she-camel. Allah referred to it as Allah's she-camel. Doesn't mean that this is what Allah write, a'udhu billah. No. It means this is something Allah made, Allah created, Allah gifted it. It's from Him. And that's why Al-Ka'bah, the same thing, when we say this is basically Baytullah, the house of Allah, يعني a house that Allah ordered to be built, Allah wanted to be built, Allah honored it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respected it and made it very special. Same thing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Abdullah, the slave of Allah. Not because Allah has a slave and He free him. No, it means an honoring for that person or the servant of Allah or Allah's servant. It doesn't mean that he is like the way we think of servants of someone. No, it means someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor him by giving this title. Al-Ka'ba means, the word Ka'ba basically refer usually to the heel, which it means in Arabic language the something that stick out, okay? Something that has the shape like a round shape. And Al-Ka'ba was called Al-Ka'ba because Mecca, if you can imagine how it used to be, it's flat, okay? So this flat surface, you always see, then you see this sticking out building in it. And this is the only building that's sticking out like that. And in the past, it was completely, there is nobody lives around Al-Ka'ba. It used to be an abandoned area. There is only this building sticking out in the middle of nowhere. And this is before Ibrahim basically moved his family there. So that's why it was called Al-Ka'ba, because it's sticking out, something very easily to be recognized and distinguished. Al-Ka'ba, this word, was mentioned in the Quran 2 times in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in 95 and 97. Ja'ala Allahu al-Ka'ba al-Bayt al-Haram qiyaman lin-nas. Allah has made the Ka'ba, the sacred house, upright for the people. Also known as Al-Bayt, the house. Al-Bayt al-Haram, the sacred house. البيت العتيق, which it means mentioned in the Quran, ancient, something very old, something liberated because Allah freed the Kaaba from being destroyed by dictators or pagan. Al-atiq also, like when you say itrun atiq, something beautiful, okay, something honorable. So that's what al-baytul atiq means. Also al-qibla, which it means direction. People go around it. That's why some people call it a duwar. Yani people go around it because the people circling around it, which it was known as al-tawaf. Who built al-Kaaba? This is one of the things that we have no clear evidence, like very explicit evidence about who built al-Kaaba. But the most famous opinions about this among the Muslim scholars and historians and theologians is three opinions. Number one, al-Mala'ika. And that's mentioned by Abu Ja'far al-Baqir, rahimahullah. The second opinion, which is Adam, when he was sent down to earth, that one of the tasks that Allah gave to Adam to do was to build al-Kaaba. And this is the opinion of Ata, one of the famous scholars of Mecca, among the successors, and Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and the choice of al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, and before him al-Imam ibn al-Jawzi, the famous mufassir, and among the modern scholars, al-Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, the one who wrote Adwa'ul Bayan. A third opinion, which is very, very famous, which is Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim. And this is the choice of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Kathir, Ibn al-Qayyim, and Shaykhna al-Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. All of them said that this place was built by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? They said because Allah, in the hadith al-Bukhari, Ibrahim said, Allah ordered me to come to build house. This is the most strong opinion, the evidence that they have. But the other group who said, no, it was built before Ibrahim. Al-Kaaba was exist before Ibrahim. And we have many evidence to prove that. Among them, what Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, He said, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِرَ بَيْتِي. We order Ibrahim and Ismail to clean and to purify my house. So that means the house is exist. But some said, no, it means purify it and clean it after you build it. It's not very explicit. They said, okay. They said, we have another one. Allah said, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ. When Ibrahim and Ismail risen the house. So they basically, what they did, Allah ordered them to build on the foundations that was already exist. So that means this house, this Al-Kaaba, the foundation were exist. But they build on these foundations. So there is someone else build these foundations. So that means it was exist before Ibrahim did it. Also, before Ibrahim built Al-Kaaba, before he built Al-Kaaba with his son, when he just brought the mother of his son, Hajar, with his son Ismail, to the place of Mecca, and he left them there, what Ibrahim said? Anybody remember the dua? Rabbana, innani askantu من ذريتي بوعد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم. He said, oh Allah, I left my family without food, without provision, okay? In a very, basically, I left my family بوعد غير ذي زرع, in a valley where there is no water, there is no plants, nothing in it. It's basically empty. But that place, right next to where is your house is, your sacred house is. So that means Ibrahim knows that this is the place of Al-Kaaba. That's right? So that means this place known to be the place of Al-Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. يعني إيش بوأنا؟ يعني عرفنا ودللنا. When we guided Ibrahim to this place where the bayt is, where the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Also, العلماء رحمه الله said that the concept of salah and ibadah and hajj was exist before Ibrahim. There is some of the ahadith mentioned that Nuh did hajj, Noah did hajj, Sheth, the son of Adam, did hajj. And even some said Adam himself made hajj. And that means the hajj was only performed on the face of this earth in Kaaba, around the Kaaba. So they said, and we have narration giving these suggestions, and that's what Allah said in the Quran, أَوَّلُ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لِلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَ. The first house of worship was built on earth was the one in Mecca. Was the one in Mecca. So that means that this is basically, this place was the first place of worship. And definitely Nuh has a place of worship. Definitely the prophets before Adam had a place of worship. So these are some of the evidence that they used to say it is exist before Adam. Before Ibrahim, sorry. Before Ibrahim alayhi salam. But who built it before Ibrahim? They debated. Some said Adam, some said the angels. For me, what it seems to be, that the foundation of Al-Kaaba was exist. Maybe even cities were building exist at certain time. But for a very long time in history, this was destroyed and basically vanished. And Ibrahim alayhi salam came and rebuilt it in the way that basically is very close to what we see today. Some even said the one who built it, Sheth, the son of Adam, but there's no proof for that at all. We have no doubt, historically speaking, that Al-Kaaba was built several times during the history. Several times. And what we know, Al-Quran documented for us, the building of Ibrahim to it, for it. That Ibrahim built Al-Kaaba. That's something Al-Quran documented for us. And we 100% aware of. But also history reported to us that there is other people built Al-Kaaba through time. And among them, a very famous known troops or tribes known as Al-Amaliqa. Okay? And Al-Amaliqa built Al-Kaaba. And Al-Amaliqa, it's a name of a tribe. It goes to their father, Imliq, their great-grandfather, Imliq, the son of Lawth, the son of Sam, the son of Noah. So they basically Semitic. And among them, they are the basically, he's the one, his tribe, known to be built Al-Kaaba. They used to live in Yemen. And At-Tabari, the very famous Muslim historian, he said, those nations were known of their big, their very big, built, tall, with a great civilization. They left Yemen and they spread in Hijaz, in the west side of Arabia, and reach Egypt, reach what's known in Syria, Jordan, Palestine, these parts of the world, and some even reach Al-Iraq. But this whole entire tribe, with time, basically were destroyed through wars. Also, we know they known to build Al-Kaaba. Historically speaking, also Jurhum. They are the cousins or the akhwal, the uncles of Ismail, alayhi salam. And the first tribe that we know in history that settled around Al-Kaaba and lived in Mecca. So Jurhum is another tribe also known that they built Al-Kaaba after it was destroyed by natural disaster. We know also that Quraysh built Al-Kaaba. And all these rebuilding of Al-Kaaba happens, that we know historically, happened after Ibrahim alayhi salam built it. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ibrahim built Al-Kaaba. Then after a while, it basically broke apart or fell apart. So the Amaliqa rebuilt it. Then fell apart. Then the Jurhum rebuilt it. Then fell apart. Then Quraysh rebuilt it. And this narration from Ali ibn Abi Talib reported by Al-Hakim wal-Bayhaqi fi al-Shu'ab. So let's look at the most important one, which is Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built Al-Ka'ba. Ibrahim alayhi salam built Al-Ka'ba in a very simple way. Al-Ka'ba doesn't look like the way it is today during Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam came to his son Ismail and informed him that Allah has commanded him to build Al-Ka'ba. He pointed to a risen area of the valley where the foundation of the Kaaba was established, and he began the work with his son Ibrahim. The foundation of Al-Kaaba, it's ironic, Ibn Abbas said that he saw it. He saw this foundation in Al-Kaaba. And I'll tell you what's so interesting. He said, هي حجارة الخضراء كالأضراس. He said, it looks like the molars, and it has green in it, and it goes deep into the ground. When the people of Mecca were trying to rebuild it, they were trying to shake these foundations, and the moment they hit it with the axe, the whole entire Mecca had an earthquake, was shaking. So the people of Mecca said, don't touch it, don't touch it. One of the people who were part of the recent rebuild of Al-Kaaba in modern days, and I'll tell you, was telling me he was inside Al-Kaaba. I don't know if you guys know that, but in 1996, the whole Kaaba was knocked down completely and rebuilt. Completely, from the top to the bottom. Without people realizing, they made it in a very interesting way. They put a curtain on each side that they knocked down, so people will not see it, and they rebuild it again. But one of the things that I was told by someone who was in that process, he told me that he saw way deep in the foundation of Al-Kaaba, the same exact, he didn't even know about the narration. I told him, how did you, he said, I saw the foundation, Sheikh Khalid. I said, how would you describe it to me? He said, like the molar teeth. He used the same word that Ibn Abbas did. And he said it has a color in it, like turquoise, like kind of greenish color in it as well. Then I told him the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and the narration that came to describe the foundation of Al-Kaaba in the same way. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Ismail, start collecting stones for his father, who placed them one above another. His style of building do not require cement to keep it basically solid. As the house grow higher, Ibrahim couldn't reach. How he go higher? And he put the stones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for him down a stone from heaven. And he sit in this, stand up on this stone, and the stone will carry it up, carry him up high so he can build the Kaaba. And that's what we call today Maqamu Ibrahim. The Maqam Ibrahim, that still exists until today. And it's been said in the Sound narration that كانت تغوص فيه قدماه إلى ركبتيه, that the stone actually was, what we have today is that much of the stone. That's how big it is today. But originally, it was so big that it will, when he stand in it, he will go all the way to his knees. And I understand that, so he will not fall. Because if it's just a small surface, you're on top of it, and you go up high, you can fall off. That's right. But it was actually all the way to his knees. He goes all the way inside it. Basically, it has a hole in it, and he put his feet inside it, all the way to his knees. And it will go up high, and he will put the stone. So Ismail will handle him, and he will take the stone, and he build the Kaaba. This special stone lifted and gave him higher, lifted him and gave him higher reach. While he stood above the ground, Ismail continued to handle him the stones of construction. This special stone of Jannah became soft because of the amount of time that Ibrahim stood on it, and basically made a deep print of the feet of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is known today as Maqamu Ibrahim. If you go today to Mecca and you look at the stone, you see the print of Ibrahim's feet in that rock. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Ibrahim and Ismail to leave a vacant space in one of the corners of Al-Kaaba. And they were surprised for what? There is one space left in one of the corners. Then by the end of their construction, Jibreel, the angel Jibreel, came down with the stone from Jannah to be placed as the cornerstone of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that what was known as the black stone. It wasn't actually a black. The stone is not a black. And even if you read in the books of history and the books of ahadith, they will tell you that the black part of it was the top. It's about 1.5 feet. This black stone, it's like this size, cubic, like a rectangle. And you only see the top of it, and that was black. But actually, the rest of it was white. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we might say that, we don't have no time for it, but in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it was all white. And it turned black, the top of it, because of the sins of the people. Some ulama said the sins of the people was what? Because every time people wipe over it, it take away their sins. So that would turn it black. Some said, no, it is because of the sins that committed outside, it turned this stone to a black. You might say, what's the significance? How's that possible? The point was, if the sins can turn a black, a stone to be dark color and turn it to be dark, what do you think sins can do to your own heart? To your soul. So that's something to reflect upon. The Kaaba he built, is it Adhan time, Azad? Go ahead.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah.
هذا ما في إكو. Is the sounds clear? Can you hear me clearly? Okay, good. So Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba in a quite different look than what it is today. First of all, it only had two corners, not four corners. The first one, the one where the black stone is here. And the second one over there, that's where Ar-Rukn al-Yamani is. Okay? So he has only two corners, two 90-degree, basically, corners. And here, it was a curve. So to go straight, and a curve, like a kind of rectangle look without the 50 degree. So it goes all the way in, then it's curved like a basically half a circle. That's how it looks like. And also, there were no roof for the Kaaba, completely open. And also, it has two doors, one from this side where the black stone is, next to the black stone, and another one in front of it where the Yemeni corner is. Called Yemeni corner because it's facing toward Yemen, okay? Like this one facing Iraq, the other one called Asham because facing north to Syria, and this one called the Iraqi corner because it's facing Iraq. Anyway, so this basically, there is two doors on the ground. People can come in from one and exit from the other one. And it was much shorter. Al-Kaaba today is about 45 or 46 feet high. But Ibrahim only made it 14.8 feet high. So from 14, and today you have basically 54.9. You know, it basically was 4.5 meter, and today it is 14 meters high. So it's big difference between the two. And because of this style, that it has only two corners, it's ironic to know that the Arabs did not build houses with corners. They were so scared. Nobody in the Arab culture will build a house with corners. They said because they don't want their home to look like Kaaba. And one of them did it once, and they said, let's see how Allah will curse him and destroy his house. When there is nothing happened to him, they start building homes like him with corners. Otherwise, it took them years to have the guts to build a house with corners because they thought that's only something unique to Al-Kaaba. So the Amalika, I think they call them in English the Amalekites. If you want to research about them, Amalekites. Among the Arab al-Ba'ida, they are the one, and I just told you, and Jurhum basically rebuilt it. Then what happened later after that? Let's move forward until the time of the Prophet ﷺ when he was 35 years old, where the people of Mecca rebuilt Al-Kaaba. How did they rebuild Al-Kaaba? What they made them rebuild Al-Kaaba? Basically what happened 5 years before the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about 35 years, an accident happened. A woman came with charcoals, and they put on the top of this charcoals some nice, good smell pieces of wood to burn it to give a good smell to the Kaaba. So while she carrying this basically charcoals around and fire around, fall off her or whatever incident basically happened, and the Kaaba's curtain caught on fire. And quickly the fire reached to the woods because Al-Kaaba made of rocks and woods. Basically the whole woods was burned. And in no time, most of Al-Kaaba was destroyed. And basically it became so weak and in any time can fall apart. So the people of Mecca said, we can't leave it like this, the sacred place, everybody respected it, let's rebuild it. So they decided to knock it down and rebuild Al-Kaaba. And it's interesting when you read in the history, when they were knocking it down, they said, Ya Rabbi la tura, Ya Rabbi la tura, innama nahdimuha linabniha. God, don't be scared, we're knocking it down so we can rebuild it. As if Allah doesn't know what they're doing. What an ignorant. So he said, don't be worried. But they said, let's make a rule. أَلَّا يَدْخِلَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ People will donate, basically they fundraise to build the Kaaba. But they made a condition. You cannot donate to this cause any money coming from prostitution or coming from usury. So any money that you made out of usury, out of interest, riba, or prostitution, you cannot bring it into it. Because we want to build it with what? With pure money. Okay? So, listen. You see how it is here? See that curve? That was before it was burned, part of Al-Kaaba. So it's not like this, it's like that. Okay? So they couldn't have enough money to extend the Kaaba all the way to where it originally is. They didn't have enough money, which is only 3 meters. I'm just surprised. And I was like, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, only 3 meters. They can't go farther. They run out of money. So they said, you know what? We just close it here, and we do that small arch wall, this one, you see here. They said, let's make a wall here to identify where it is originally supposed to be. And we just leave it there. So people will know that originally this was part of it, but we couldn't include it now in the new construction because they don't have money. Maybe later on we'll do. And what they did, they also said no stealing money can be used. What they did, they closed the door from the Yamani Rukn, from the other side. And this door, they raise it up high. Why they raise it up high? Because they hire someone of them, one of their people, to stand at the door. So when it is high, you need someone to pull you up to get in. And will only pull out to get in their own people or those who pay. So they want to make business out of it. So they have control over Al-Kaaba. One of the reasons they've been said also, because they used to have a treasure inside Al-Kaaba, and they don't want it to be stolen, okay? So they decide to keep it safe by closing the other door, so we can manage it properly. So the change that Quraysh was made, they raised Al-Kaaba from 4.5 meters to 9 meters high. So they did good about that. It became about 29 or 30 feet high instead of 14.8. Added a roof that was previously not exist. Closed the second doorway, okay, to maintain no internal flooding. Also, the Kaaba will not be flooded with water. Raised the first doorway and added locked door, which is never exist before. Before, it was just opening, no doors, nothing. So they added the concept of door. And that make them control who in, who out. There's somebody has the key for it and so forth. And also shorten the distance between the two corners and curved wall due to the lack of material by 3.26 meters on one side and 4.3 meters on the other side. Converted the once curved wall into a flat wall with two corners, added stones to mark the original curve that built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's basically the shape of Al-Kaaba during the time of Quraysh when the Prophet was 35 years old. What we have today. There is a difference, I'll tell you what's the difference. Very minor difference, but that's how it looks like. One more thing. The black stone, when it came to black stone, they said, who will get the honor to put it? And they said, after a big dispute, the first one comes, we'll see what he says. It was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I have a suggestion for you. He bring his clothes like this, and he put it in his basically clothes, and he said, everybody carry that garment from every head of tribe, carry part or carry hold the garment from one side, and all of us will put it together. So they all carry it, and the Prophet ﷺ replaced it with his own hand in that spot, in the same spot. Also during that time, Maqam Ibrahim, this place where Ibrahim, the stones where Ibrahim's footprint was touching Al-Kaaba, was like right next to Al-Kaaba, was not far like that. It was basically almost attached to Al-Kaaba, as it originally was during Ibrahim alayhi salam's time. But later on in history, it was pushed back. This is basically how they built it. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participating in building Al-Kaaba. And one day, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was when he was carrying, it was very heavy to carry this, basically stones, and it marked on his shoulder. People are very simple life, only have one piece of garment to cover his lower part. So his uncle, Abu Talib, or his uncle, Abbas, told him, Al-Abbas said, don't carry it in your skin. It will basically mark your skin. Pull your izar, pull your garment up and put it on your shoulder and put the stone on the top of it. Because at that time, the issue of covering private part is not a big deal for a man to show his private part or part of his awrah in front of others. So when he said this to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ reached to his garment to pull it up. He's not a prophet yet or messenger yet. And when he did that, he fainted. He fell on his face, سَلَسَاخَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He fainted. He fell on his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he lifted his clothes up. And that was one of the things that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah protect Muhammad from anyone to see his private part or his awrah. Nobody ever see it except his own wife. So that was part of how Allah wanted to protect the honor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a young man, one of his friends in Mecca told him, why don't you join us? He said, what do you do? He said, we go in the night, we drink, and we go to these places, and you know, we have fun. He was 20 years old in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, tomorrow after we come back from the, you know, taking care of the sheep, and he was a shepherd, when we come back, I will go with you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for the man to come to basically take him to where they go spend the night and where people drink and, you know. But in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alqa Allahu alayhi an-nawm. He slept and he never woke up until next day. So he never, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ever witnessed anything of these indecency or anything of these bad. Allah protected him from being, have any dents in his history, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be held against him in the future. Anyway, so they basically, this is how it was built during the Prophet ﷺ time. Al-Kaaba remained this way for a quite long time until the Umayyad's time came. And the Umayyad comes, which is about 64 Hijri. During that time, after the death of Muawiyah, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, some people refused to show their loyalty to him, to consider him the Khalifa. They rebel against him. And among them, a man by the name of Abdullah ibn al-Zubayr, radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn al-Zubayr basically stood against the Umayyads, and he was surrounded in Mecca by the army of Yazid. And while they surrounding Mecca, they hit Mecca with the catapult, the manjaniq, with big rocks, and rocks with fire. They put rocks in oil and put lead it, and they threw it into Mecca. So what happened? A big portion of Al-Kaaba was destroyed and burned. Big portion of the masjid actually was destroyed during this process. But the siege was lifted because the caliph died, and the new one ordered everybody to come back. So the siege was left, and people left Al-Kaaba. Left Al-Kaaba half destroyed, or a big portion of it destroyed, and the masjid was completely messed. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, now he's the governor of this area, and he wants to rebuild it. So he said, I made istikhara for 3 days, and I decide to rebuild Al-Kaaba the way Ibrahim built it, not the way the people of Quraysh built it. So what he will do, he will cancel this corner, and this corner, these two corners in the far, can see. I think you can see in your screen. So he will cancel this corner, and extend it like this and curve it, like the way it's curved here. And he will basically reopen the other door because it's there, but it is not basically use it. There is a rock or like they have cement to close it down. So he will open it and he will bring this one down so people can come from here and get from the other side. He said, I will do that. The only difference he made than Ibrahim alayhi salam, he raised Al-Kaaba higher. Because the higher you go, the more honor the building is. So he decided to do that. And guess what? Ibn Abbas told him, don't. قَالَ دَحْ حِجَارَةً أَسْلَمَ عَلَيْهَا النَّاسُ وَمَاتَ عَلَيْهَا النَّاسُ وَمَاتَ عَلَيْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Leave the rocks the way it is. Leave the building the way it is. This is how the Prophet came and he died. And Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and the caliphs and the Muslim scholars and most of the companions. Nobody. Nabi Sallallahu never change it. Just leave it. Nabi Sallallahu was worried about people. Now there is political unrest. There is a lot of reason people will attack you for because of it. He was not very happy with the idea. Then he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was worried about Quraysh reaction. And I'm not worried about anybody's reaction. قَالَ إِنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَافَ قُرَيْشُ وَإِنِّي لَا أَخَافُ أَحَدًا. And there is shortage of money, and I have so much money. And I'm going to do it the right way. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if your people, Aisha, if your people, if the people of Mecca, were not just the new Muslims, I would have knocked down Al-Kaaba and rebuilt it the same way Ibrahim built it. In the right way. But I'm afraid if I do that, people of Mecca will say, oh, Muhammad want to, he destroyed the religious sacred place, blah, blah, blah. So he said, just close the door. That show you the wisdom of the Prophet. So he did. So basically he re-added the 3 or 4 meters taken away out by Quraysh, returned the curve wall, made it even higher, all the way to 13.5 meters, okay, 44.3 feet, closely reaching to the height of today. And also returned the second doorway and kept both open in the ground level. Abdullah ibn Zubair, surrounded again by the Umayyads, he was killed. Al-Kaaba was regained by the Umayyads. So now the Khalifa Abdul Malik ibn Marwan got a letter, said, what should we do with the change that he made to Al-Kaaba? He said, change it. He doesn't want the legacy of this man who rebelled against his dynasty to remain. He said, change it. Not only that, he was not aware that the sunnah is to do it according to Ibrahim. He was not aware. That's why later on, when he was told that Aisha radiallahu anha said the hadith, he said, if I would have heard this hadith, I would have not changed what Ibn Zubayr did. I would have not changed what Ibn Zubayr did. So what he did, he basically rebuilt the wall again and make it like cube kind of. He kept that curve outside. He closed the other door, risen this one, the one that you see in front of you, and he returned it back the way it was in the Prophet ﷺ time. The only thing he kept is the height. He said, that's fine. Let's keep the height because it's more honoring for him. Days goes back, another dynasty comes. It's called Abbasi dynasty. Then Harun al-Rashid came to Imam Malik and he said, what do you think of what the Umayyads, now dynasties of Abbasis, are not very good term with the Umayyads. So they said, what do you think of the Umayyads did? Should we keep what Ibn Zubayr did and this is what the Prophet ﷺ wish was? Should I not knock the Kaaba down and rebuild it according to the wish of the Prophet ﷺ since people became Muslims and Islam is strong now? Then Imam Malik rahimahullah said, I ask you by Allah, let it be as it is so that it may not become the sport of kings, the toy of the kings. If the rulers continue to demolish and rebuild the Kaaba, will become a toy, losing its respect and honor from the minds and the hearts of people. And he said, please leave it as it is, and it was until basically the Ottoman Empire time comes. During the Ottoman Empire comes during a very famous Sultan, his name Sultan Murad Khan, in 1039 Hijri, During this sultan, a big flood came to Mecca and destroyed almost the Kaaba. And many fatals, many people died in this flood. It's in the history. And one of the sides of the Kaaba was completely knocked down. And during the reconstruction of that side, the other side fell apart. So the Khalifa said, you know what, just knock it down completely and rebuild it again. And they did, and they completed in 1040. It took them 1 year to rebuild it. And basically, this is the exact dimension that we have today of Al-Kaaba. The same way you see today, that's what we did the Ottomans' time. And it was there, it stayed like this until 1996. In 1996, about 400 years later, King Fahd, the king of Saudi Arabia, he ordered the reconstruction of the Kaaba in a way that he wishes that it would remain until the end of the days. Because the type of wood that he used and basically the bricks that he used is a lifetime warranty on it. He took it, I think, from Finland or something like that, the wood, that it is a lifetime warranty. It never goes bad. It's an amazing, if you ever want to read more about it. So basically, this is how it looks like without the cover, the Kaaba. Quite different. Oh, lifetime of humanity. That's what they say. So he brought this very unique wood and very unique. The wood basically it's mainly from inside. Like if I have a picture for it, yeah. You see inside the Kaaba, that's basically constructed with wood here. So there's a certain part of it made of wood and the other, the bricks. So this special woods and this is special bricks that he used, it's supposed to be a very unique and have like a lifetime warranty. If you want to read, you can read more about it in many resources online. What's so unique about it, why did he do that, first of all? Because it was completely rotten. The wood inside was completely rotten. And a lot of, they found termite. Yeah, termite was completely destroying the Kaaba from inside. So they treated it, they want to replace it with new and improved one. They added a new silver, face to the black stone, okay? They renewed the door, completely put a new door, a new lock for the door. I have a picture. So this is the old one, and this is the new one. So they made a new lock for the door of Al-Kaaba. And what is interesting, made of pure gold, by the way, 23 carats. One of the unique things about when they knocked down Al-Kaaba, the people who worked there, they used to work with a dress code or overall, has no pockets. There's no pockets in it. You know why? So people will not steal some of the rocks and go sell them and say, hey, this is a blessing, and blah, blah, blah. And one of also my friends was telling me part of the committee that was appointed by the king at that time to all these rocks, it used to be sealed in basic containers and shawl or like bags, okay, and sealed. And will be representative from different departments, intelligent, secret, intelligent, and religious authority, the Ifta and the Haramain, and all these kind of groups. And they gathered them in the ship, and they went on the Red Sea, and they actually, while the ship is going, with no coordinate saved, they release all the rocks on the bottom of the ocean. So nobody ever will be able to come and bring it back. I'll tell you, people are crazy about stuff like that. You know, they caught just not long time ago, somebody was selling the dust that comes out of the Prophet ﷺ's grave. He somehow managed to bring some of the dust that, you know, in the ghurfa, in the room where it's not even close to the grave. And he collected this dust and said, hey, I got some dust and some tissues. Maybe somebody threw it. whatever, they think it's so blessings and, you know, sell it and make money out of it. And people believe in stuff like that. That's why they were very careful about not letting this kind of rocks fall in the hand of people, because people really can make a big deal out of it. So this is just a very brief background over the rebuilding of Al-Kaaba, and unfortunately we have to pray. We only have 3 minutes left for the Iqama. Not 10? Why I have a 10 in my mind? Yeah, I know. It was 10 when I just arrived, that's right. Then I got sick, it was moved to 9. Okay, so just give me 5 more minutes, shall I will pray. One of the things, the black stone I told you about, one thing I want you to know about the black stones, black stone during the history was unbelievable amount of attack, specifically on the black stone. And that can be a lecture by itself. Many times the black stone targeted specifically. And even the history speaks about in one of the Romans came and disguised himself as a Hajj. And when he reached Al-Kaaba, all what he came, he's not even a Muslim. He came and he took the axe and he hit the black stone and destroyed part of it. Then people captured him. And the worst thing ever happened to the black stone is basically when a man by the name Abdullah al-Junabi, is the Qaramita, it's a sect, it's a very extreme Shia sect, who basically destroyed Al-Kaaba. And in this basically, not destroyed, they took the black stone from Mecca, and that was 317 Hijri. And they kept it in the east province of Saudi Arabia today for 21 years. First, when he came, they told him, you cannot get in. He said, why? It's Hajj. I promise you, I'm not. He came and he killed a lot of people around Mecca. So he has a reputation of bringing his army. Then when he came, people of Mecca came out. He said, no fight. Just let me go as Hajj. I'll go to make Hajj. The moment they opened the door for him or they let him in, he ordered the soldier to kill everyone on the street. They estimated that he killed 30,000 Hajj at that day, at that season. He prevented the Hajj from being completed. And he used to take the people's bodies and dump them in Zamzam. And he ordered someone to climb the Kaaba and to knock down the Mizab, this Mizab, where the rain comes from. When he tried to do that, he fell off and he died. Then he sent another person. Then he couldn't, and he died. Then he said, okay, just let it be. And in that time, he basically, he was very, it's a very clear kufr, and stayed a lot of kufr things. He said, Allah is me and Allah is one thing. He created you, and I'm here to collect. He made your soul, and I'm here to collect your soul. And he will kill people while he's laughing. And he used to go with his horse inside Al-Kaaba, and order one of his soldiers was on the top of Al-Kaaba or around Al-Kaaba, urinating on people. You know, it just showing an unbelievable amount of disrespect. And the worst thing is not all this. The worst thing was killing people, men and women and children, and dumping their bodies in the well of Zamzam. Then he ordered them to knock down. So they hit the black stone with the axe, pickaxe, and it destroyed it into many pieces. Okay? So they collect whatever they can, and they transfer it all the way to in the eastern of Saudi Arabia today, in the place known as Al-Qatif today. And guess what? He put the black stone in a dumpster area. He didn't even put it in a circuit, in a dumpster area, fi mazbala. And it took the Muslim 21 years to get it back. And knew how to get it back? They paid him. And like, oh, please, and blah, blah, blah. And they bring another group of Shia to basically beg him to let the black stone come back. 21 years or 22 years. When people go around the Kaaba, there is no black stone. Anyway, until he was brought back in the 14th of Dhul Hijjah, last day of Eid, and after 20 years, he was taken in the last day of Eid, sorry, in the 14th of Hijjah. Then it was brought back by after 22 years, actually. What I would like to say, out of that almost 2 feet long black stones, 60 years ago, only reported 15 small pieces like this, like the coins of, like quarters. 15, that's 60 years ago, the report, left from it. Some pieces like that big. Okay? But what we have today, not 60 years ago, what we have today, only 8 pieces. And this 8 pieces in the size of a date, small date. So these 8 pieces, that's only thing left from the black stone, the top of it. 8 small pieces from it are accounted for. And these pieces are held together in a black clay compressed of amber, wax, and musk. The ma'ajin, ma'ajun, and around the silver, basically, here. These are the pieces. Yeah, whenever they destroy them, they fall on the floor, people take from it in the past. Basically, the only thing survived from it today is these pieces. And they're not in the same size. So, people think that this is the whole thing is the black stone. No, it's actually inside it, just these small pieces. And that's what's left from it today. The only other part that is left from Al-Ka'bah, the only other part that's still the same, is this part. This piece, which is the Yamani corner. That's still from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might say, why he didn't take the Maqam Ibrahim, the stone of Ibrahim? Because one of the Muslims took the Maqam, the stone, hid it with his garment, and he run. You know, during that time when they took the black stone, he took it and he hid it in one of the valleys of Mecca, and they searched for it everywhere. They couldn't find it. And again, this is another talk about Maqam Ibrahim. There is a lot of stories about Maqam Ibrahim and how many times the flood come and carry it, that they bring it back. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made ayat of Maqam Ibrahim and the black stones, the ulama said, you know, the people of Mecca were pagans, that's right. They worship what? Idols. They worship rocks. But these two rocks, even though everybody know they are from Jannah and very special, no one ever through history worshiped them. There's two rocks never worshipped, ever. Allah kept them pure from any type of shirk. And also always found, no matter how what happened to them, taken away, getting lost, you always find them and you always bring them back to where it placed. And the ulama said, until they find their way back to Jannah. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ. A clear sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many things to be speaking about. One of them, absolutely, Zamzam. Until today, it's a very mysterious where Zamzam exactly. That's the exact picture of where Zamzam comes. This is pictures come from underneath, actually, where diver goes and took the pictures. It comes between rocks. There is no any scientific explanation where Zamzam comes from. Some people said Zamzam actually comes from underneath the black stone. That's where the original water comes from. And some said, no, it's a little bit around Al-Ka'ba in that area. But nobody exactly knows exactly where this water comes from until today. It just keeps gushing. Is the amount of water less? It depends, because what you see today in Mecca is Zamzam mixed with other type of water. There is another well not far away from Mecca also runs in the same direction, mixed with Zamzam. Then you have the rain when it comes, mixed with Zamzam. So it's not a pure Zamzam that what you have today. The only pure Zamzam is basically underground. But what you have here, it's the mix of these. It depends on the season of the rain and stuff like that. But there is a little bit of mixer. It doesn't matter because it's still Zamzam. In the old days, they used to pull it. There is old enough people here. They witnessed that if you went to Mecca in the 50s, in the 40s. You will see people still pulling that water from Mecca. What you see today, you don't see, this is the well underneath the basically the surface. We used to have access to it before, about 10, 15 years ago. They close it. Nobody have access to it, especially with, unless you have a special permission. And if you go to YouTube and you Google diving inside the well of Zamzam, there is actually a diver with camera and show you what they see there and all the kind of sort of people through history. But what you have today is these basically coolers that they provide you with Zamzam with it. There is a lot of virtue for drinking the water of Zamzam. And one of it, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's shifa'u suqm wa ta'amu tu'm. It's a healing and it is like a food for that person. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant those who never been to Mecca the ability to go and to visit Mecca soon. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for those who been to Mecca to go back to it. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا مَثَابَةً يَعْنِي تَثُوبُ إِلَيْهِ أَفْئِدَةُ النَّاسِ. That Ibn Abbas said, we made the house of Allah a place where the heart always loved to go back to it. You finish the Hajj, you finish Umrah after very hot days, very hard time, with all the difficulties. The moment you finish, you said, when I'm coming back? I wish I can go back. Those who went with us last year to Mecca, in with the Maghrib Institute, I get the pleasure with some of them to go tour al-Kaaba and inside the masjid, give them some more insight about it as well. And hopefully this year, in the end of the year, inshallah, you get join us. If you're not going to Hajj, I highly recommend for you to register with us in our masjid group. I was supposed the people who registered during Ramadan got an email by now of some information about how this will work and what is requirement and stuff like that. So we can organize this, inshallah, together. I'm very excited about it because there's a lot of opportunity, especially with your family, with your kids. Even if you decide to go with one of your children or two, or you, your mom and her son or daughter, be an excellent opportunity for them to come close to each other and to spend a good time in one of the most beautiful, sacred, purest place ever in the face of this earth. Thank you very much. Jazakum Allah khair. We'll pray now. And inshallah ta'ala, after salah, if you have a question, I'll be happy to answer it. Yeah.